This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
It is the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Thanks for being here. Hub City Spartanburger text line, 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E is the number. You can text the radio program as Tennessee Tyler has done so. Tennessee Tyler texted the show and said, my wife is a UGA fan and she hates Clemson, end quote. So, for at least Mrs. Tennessee Tyler, the rivalry lives on. Been a long time since those teams got together, including the, what did you call it? The Meow and Moo offense? The Moo and Meow offense?
Meow and Cow.
The Meow and Cow offense. That was it. My bad.
It's got a rhyme.
I knew there was a rhyme, but I couldn't remember what it was. That makes sense. The Meow and Cow offense being run by the Clemson Tigers, according to the great one. At least for Miss Tennessee Tiger, that rivalry is going nowhere, even if it is only going to ever be played sporadically. That is, of course, until and unless the Clemson Tigers end up in the Southeastern Conference 6 years from now, which is a distinct and realistic possibility. Slightly earlier is on the table, but I would say 2031, at latest 2036, it'll be either the Big Ten or the SEC. We'll find out when we get there. And I do think, not that we're going to go down this path, at least not right now, that when Miami, Florida State, Clemson, probably North Carolina, probably Duke, make their way into one of those two power conferences, split probably down the middle, half to one, half to the other. My suspicion is that is the beginning of the end of college football in its current organizational structure. I think that'll be when we end up with two college footballs. We'll end up with big college football, little college football. Saturday, on Bet for the Cycle, pitched the concept of promotion relegation, right? Like, let's have two levels of football. Let's have SEC Big Ten, and then let's have the EEC, the Everybody Else Conference, which, by the way, shout out to my dude Sean Levine, the sports machine from the Infinity Sports Network. He had me on his show last week to talk college football, and I made reference to the EEC, and he's like, yo, I'm stealing that. And I've heard him bring up the EEC and give me credit for it, which I appreciate, on his show a couple of times since then. I think you're going to end up with two, Big Ten, SEC over here, the EEC, Everybody Else Conference over here. I actually really like the concept of let's take the 10, 12 best teams from the EEC, which is the surviving ACC, the Big 12, the Pac-4, the Mountain West, the Big Sky, all the little conferences. Let's take the top 10 teams, move them up, and move the bottom teams out. Now, it's not going to happen because the SEC and the Big 10 are never going to sign off on that. But I do think it is a dope theoretical idea. All right, we're not going to spend a ton of time on that because it is a theoretical idea. But we are going to get back to the rivalry. We will do rivalries 74 through 50. Coming up at the end of this hour, we'll do 49 through 25 in the hour after that, and then we'll wrap it up with the top 25 rivalries in college football. But again, if you're just tuning in, we are not just looking at the Athletic's ranking of the top 100 rivalries in college football. We are kind of adapting it and looking at it through a 2025 lens. What do these rivalries mean coming up this year? With 6 days left to the SEC, Media Days in Atlanta, Georgia will be live, by the way. So we'll get back to that, but it is 7:04 and a half in the morning. You have 55 and a half minutes, math is hard, until you get to the office, until you knock out all the stuff that you didn't do yesterday because you were talking sports with your coworkers, and then you start talking sports with your coworkers because that's what you do, and we endorse that. That is why every morning we tell you everything you need to know going on in the world of sports. That's why every morning we do this. It is the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers this morning. When you do, this is what you will be talking about. Let us dive right in with item number one. It is not a story that is going to have a massive impact on most of you as a college football fan, but I do think it is an interesting story nonetheless. And I do think it is an interesting story because of the implications that are behind it. Oklahoma Athletic Director Joe Castiglione is stepping down from his position sometime during the upcoming school year. He has been in conversation with the university about the right way to do that, to get a transition plan in place, to give the university plenty of time to find the next guy to run the athletic department. Why is an AD stepping down a water cooler cheat sheet item? Well, Joe Castiglione is the longest tenured athletic director in major college sports right now. He is entering his 28th year at the University of Oklahoma. During that time, he has seen 26 national titles won by the Boomer Sooners, 117 league titles won by the Sooners, stretching across the SEC and the Big 12, as he was obviously also the AD that was in power at the time of the transition from the old conference to the new. The 67-year-old initiated the conversation about his retirement with school officials about a month ago, according to ESPN, and he will be staying on board in a reduced role. He will be staying on board as effectively a special advisor and to work on, quote, special projects at the university, end quote, as he does intend to live locally in Norman, Oklahoma. He has been at the helm for nearly three decades, earned a reputation as one of the industry's most respected leaders. He won Athletic Director of the Year by the Sports Business Journal in 2009, won it again in 2018. Also won the National Association of Collegiate Directors of Athletics Award for the nation's top AD in both 2000 and 2018. ESPN points out his impact on the college athletics industry. In his time at Oklahoma and Missouri, 32 of Castiglione's employees have gone on to become athletic directors or conference commissioners after their time at Oklahoma. Why is this a story that makes the water cooler cheat sheet? Well, it is very possible that Castiglione is stepping away because he's been in the job 28 years and he's just ready to retire. He's 67 years old. He's past the retirement age. But I went one deeper, and maybe this is Rob being just the absolute drama queen that I am known to be sometimes. I would also look at it and go, okay, this industry, college athletics, is filled to the brim with old guys. There is no shortage of dudes in their late 60s, early 70s, mid 70s, late 70s.
I was
going to
ask you what you considered old. So now we know. Okay.
I mean, I would say, like, in your 60s, you're definitely not middle aged anymore. Like, just statistically speaking, most people ain't making it to a buck 20. So in your 60s, you're an old guy. And I'm not saying old like decrepit needs a walker drooling on themselves. I'm just saying, relatively speaking, you're old. You're clearly past the halfway point of your life, even if you live a long, healthy life. You're at the best two-thirds of the way through. You're old. And that's okay.
You have a future as a motivational speaker, by the way.
I mean, listen, you know what we need? We need less motivational speakers and more realistic speakers. We need more people who are actually willing to say, yeah, you can't do anything you want, kids. Sorry, you can't. It's just not like 0.00005% of people who apply to be astronauts make it. You know what percentage of high school players make it to the NFL? It's like 0.00026. You can't do anything you want. And that's okay. That's okay. You should still do what you love. Just recognize you can't do everything. We need more reality speakers and less motivational speakers. All right, there's my motivational speak. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. Here's why I think this story is interesting. Because I think it goes back into the realm of the old guard doesn't want to do it anymore, right? I'm not saying if college football was still in the old days of, you know, 2022 or whatever it was, that Castiglione would stay. What I'm saying is he definitely was going to go. After the House v. NCAA settlement, we all know that not only is college football, college sports, and keep in mind, a guy like Castiglione, he doesn't just oversee the football team. He's got an entire athletic department, all of which has to be reworked. He's got to deal with a $20.5 million rev share cap. He's got to deal with NIL. Now, not only does he have to deal with helping to raise NIL funds, not only does he have to help with matching athletes with NIL contributors, boosters, funders, whatever you want to call them. But now on top of all of those things, he's also got to make sure that in doing so, Oklahoma is strictly adhering to all of the rules, regulations, and protocols put in place by the House v. NCAA settlement. The $600 cap, the College Sports Commission, the NIL Go Clearinghouse. And on top of that, and I was having this conversation with one of our listeners on X this morning at the Rob Brown Show, if you want to toss me a follow. We know that the future of college athletics for at least the next handful of years is going to be absolutely chock-a-block full of litigation. Every time that a school, every time that a university, every time that the College Sports Commission, and every time that the NCAA says, hey guys, new rule. You and I and everybody else knows that there's going to be an athlete, there's going to be an agent, there's going to be some parents somewhere that are going to say, yeah, we're bringing you to court for that. We don't think you should be able to restrict the amount of whatever we can get. If we can get it, you should not be restricting us from getting it because that rule wasn't in place. You're propping it up now to stop us after we done got the bag. And I got to some degree, and again, might be a drama queen moment, might be a bit of an overreaction here, but I've kind of got the feeling that some of this is being caused because Joe Castiglione is like, yeah, I don't really want to deal with that. The man's been there for 28 years. Now, maybe he, like I said, maybe he just got tired. Maybe he just went, yeah, 28 years. I've had a good run. We're in the SEC now. We got a good coach in Brent Venables. We'll find out this year. Like, we've moved. We're making more money than ever before. I'm leaving the school in a better spot. And I'm 67. I'd like to go spend some time with the grandkids or whatever the case is. Or he's looking at it and going, yeah, this is going to be a bleep show for a long time, and I'm 67. I don't want to deal with it. I think the old guard's switching off, and I do think that a lot of the issues that are going to be solved in college football that y'all consider issues down the line are going to be solved by the next generation of authority figures in college sports, not this current generation. It is going to be the next generation that comes up in the new world, not the one that oversaw its transition. But we'll find out. We'll talk about this more later on in the show. Let's get to item number two. Not a big shock here because we had already been told that this was the case. Now it is confirmed Tyrese Haliburton out for the entire 2025-26 season after surgery to repair his torn right Achilles tendon suffered in Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Again, it is not a shock. We already knew that. Pretty much everybody who's got any sort of credentials in talking about this sort of thing has already said, Torn ACL, he's not coming back next year. Some people were like optimistic, maybe he'd make it back for the playoffs. Indiana's president of basketball operations, Kevin Pritchard, said yesterday, the surgery went well. It was a little higher and it gets more blood to that as he recovers. He will not play next year, though. We would not jeopardize that now, so do not get any hopes up that he will play. So, why is that interesting? It is interesting not because of what it does to the Pacers. It is interesting because of what it does to the Pacers and what it does to the rest of the NBA's Eastern Conference. Because Tatum's out in Boston, we knew that already. Dame's out in Milwaukee, not just from the injury, they just cut him. They just waived him. They just let him go. So he is out, and I think they take a step back. The New York Knicks fired Tom Thibodeau, who just brought them to an Eastern Conference Finals, and hired Mike Brown because reasons. You know, guy's been to five spots, got fired from all of them. Yeah, six times a charm, as the old expression
easy,
goes.
Easy in-between guy. He's a guy you bring in where everyone's like, okay, he's all right.
I'm good with that if the team stank and was trying to rebuild. Team just went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Go get a guy. I'd rather you experiment. But blah, blah, blah. The point is, I don't think anybody trusts the Knicks to be there. What does this do? This opens the door. It opens the door for the Atlanta Hawks, who got better this offseason. It opens the door for the Detroit Pistons, who got better this offseason and have Cade Cunningham, who I think is a star in the making. It opens the door for the Orlando Magic, who just signed Paolo Banchero to a rookie max contract of 5 years, 220-some-odd mil that could go up to 280 if he wins the MVP Defensive Player of the Year or makes the All-NBA team next year. And it opens the door. I am not kidding. I've been on this wagon since the draft. I'm staying on the wagon now. The rest of y'all, like Bill Simmons did yesterday, can catch up. It opens the door for the Charlotte Hornets. The East is the most wide-open conference in recent memory in one of the American Big Four. There is no favorites there. There are like five teams that I think are ready to pounce this year, and I absolutely think the Hornets could very well be one of them. Let's get to item number three. This makes the list solely if you're a baseball guy, but I know there's a lot of baseball guys, so I put it on the list. Manny Machado has been playing Major League Baseball since he was drafted to the Baltimore Orioles and made his debut in 2012. He racked up 977 hits with the Orioles. In 2018, he got traded to the LA Dodgers. He had 73 hits with that team before he was sent to the, excuse me, before he signed with the Padres as a free agent on February 21, 2019. Since then, he has racked up 950 hits. It ranks fifth on the franchise list. Tony Gwynn, by the way, is number one with over 3,100 hits during his 20 seasons with San Diego. Not only is Manny Machado the starting third baseman for the National League All-Star team coming up 1 week from tonight, by the way, but on top of that, Manny Machado got his 2,000th career hit last night. Did it against the Arizona Diamondbacks. A sharp single off the glove of Gerardo Perdomo. Got him on base. The milestone hit came against starter Zach Gallen leading off the fourth inning. Got a standing ovation from the crowd at Petco, where he's been a fan favorite since he joined the Fathers back in 2019. Machado was the fifth active player and the 297th all-time to reach the milestone. He is the 12th player to have 350 home runs and 2,000 hits by his age 32 season. Five guys in the league have gotten to 2K hits. Manny Machado became the fifth last night. I love this dude. I love this dude. Manny Machado is just a dude who loves baseball, and you can see it. You can get that vibe. Also, one of the most underappreciated hitters of our time. Like, the dude's just an absolute off-base slugger. I love Manny Machado. Congratulations to Manny Machado for joining a club that has 297 people in it in the history of Major League Baseball that dates back to, what, 1903? That's pretty remarkable. When we come back, let's keep running through the rivalry list, shall we? We gave you 100 through 75. Let's get 74 through 50 and see how they stack up in 2025. We'll do that next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
We are running down the Athletic's list of the 100 best rivalries in college football. Clemson and South Carolina have both made the list one time. Excuse me, Clemson made the list twice in the bottom 25. They made the list with number 92, Clemson v. NC State. South Carolina made the list at number 85 with Georgia. And then Clemson made the list again at number 76 with Clemson, Georgia. Now, I did ask Clemson fans on the stream and on the air to text their answer to the Hub City Spartanburger text line at 844-326-3663. Is Clemson v. Georgia still a rivalry? Don't get played very often, if ever. These two teams aren't meeting up with each other every single year. Like, maybe every now and then they'll be in kind of a similar bowl position and they'll get lined up. Like, there's a very good chance Clemson could see Georgia in the playoffs this year. Both of these teams are national championship hopefuls. It is very possible that they bump into each other in the postseason. Is there an elevated level of hate for the Georgia Bulldogs from the Clemson Tigers? And is there an elevated level of hate from the Georgia Bulldog fans to Clemson? We had Tennessee Tyler text the show, said my wife is a Georgia fan and she hates Clemson. We had another texter say, this is an interesting text. Texter said, it feels like Clemson is building what they used to have with Georgia with Notre Dame now. Remember, they just signed that 12-year deal where whether or not Notre Dame would have been matched up as an ACC partner opponent on the football field, Clemson and Notre Dame will be alternating visits to each other over the next dozen years moving forward. That is obviously a way for Notre Dame to make sure that they have a consistent top-tier ACC caliber opponent on the schedule. It's a way for Clemson to make sure that, hey, if they get shafted one year by playing all the bottom dwellers in the ACC, should the schedule line up that way, they are now insured to always have, whether they are a title contender or not, a team that always has preseason expectations on the schedule. Is that going to turn into a
Try
rivalry
not
game?
To laugh about the bottom dwellers in the ACC.
I mean, there are bottom dwellers, even if there aren't a lot of top dwellers.
If you're Clemson, everybody else is a bottom dweller.
Speaking of that, I got a really funny clip I'm going to play for you in the audio blitz coming up in the 8 o'clock hour that you're going to want to hear. All right, so steer your thoughts on that. Text your thoughts that you may have about any of this to 844-326-3663, the Hub City Spartanburger text line, or call in. Give me your thoughts. Let's keep rolling down this list. At number 74, Baylor versus Texas A&M. Obviously, I think this was a bigger rivalry before A&M made the hop over to the Southeastern Conference a number of years ago. It was also a bigger rivalry when, like, Robert Griffin III was at Baylor, and it looked for a minute there like Baylor was going to be on its way up towards the top echelon of college football. Obviously, that did not materialize, but still a good rivalry, even if it don't be played anymore. What is happening to me?
Yeah.
Number 73, Oregon State, Washington State. This one's kind of interesting because it's the Pac-2. I mean, it's now the Pac-6 or whatever, but, like, quick, name me the other teams that are in there, right? Like, you don't care. So, with that being said, this one I think is going to be, I think this is kind of a friendly rivalry, right? Not maybe out of necessity more than it is conference rivalry. Just like, we're the only ones left, dog. Wait, if you are at a party and everybody else leaves the party and it's just you and one more person, you have one of two mentality. Either, yo, I'm out of here too, this sucks. Or you go, hey, bud, it's just me and you. Like, let's make this thing a rager, right? Two-man party. Let's go. Number 72, UCLA v. Stanford. Again, another conference rivalry that was great. Probably got demoted a little bit because they're just not going to play each other very often. Number 71, does this one deserve to go higher? LSU, Texas A&M. Not really like a traditional classic rivalry, but they have developed a bit of a rivalry in conference over the last couple of years, A. And B, these two teams have put on a handful of bangers. Were you watching the night they did that, like, 7 overtime game? I don't know why. I remember exactly where I was for that game. We were at the Red Door on the Destin Harbor. Me and my buddy Justin, he's a big LSU guy, friend of mine from back in Louisiana, big LSU guy. We were at the Red Door in Destin, and by the time they got to, like, overtime 5, overtime 6, overtime 7, that bar was it's not a football bar. Like, it's not. It's just kind of an on the harbor, like, locals dive bar. It's a bar you go to with other bartenders at night. And after 1 a.m., they do half price shots because the people that are still there clearly just got there. And this bar turned into the most electric football bar I've ever been in. Like, they put on some bangers. But I'm going to say, again, this rivalry in 2025 probably takes a hop up a little bit because Brian Kelly's fighting for his job. I believe that this year, if Brian Kelly is a 8-4, 7-5 coach at LSU this year, he's done. He's good. He will be kicked out of the family. He's got to be a playoff team, nothing less. Like, Hugh Freeze, I don't think needs to be a playoff team to keep his job, but I don't think he can go 6-6, 7-5 and keep his job. Brian Kelly, I don't think can do worse than 10-2, and I think he's got to be a playoff team or LSU may send him to the curb. Number 70. Illinois v. Northwestern. Number 69, Wyoming, Colorado State. Number 68, USC Cal. Used to be a great rivalry. In 2025, diminished a little bit, right? Like, I think Clemson, Georgia, it may have used to been a great rivalry, but in the eyes of America, that's not a rivalry. Like, it's a rivalry if you're an old school fan. I asked this earlier, and I'll ask it again. Is UGA a rival for younger Clemson peeps? For the folks that are in school now, the folks that maybe just got out of Clemson, for the youths that are growing up as Clemson fans right now, are you taught to hate Georgia? The hallmark of a rivalry is you're taught to hate them, right? Are you taught to hate Georgia? Is that kind of gone by the wayside? USC Cal has. Number 67, Penn State, Iowa. I would say this one's kind of an interesting one because it's probably not one of those rivalries that's necessarily known nationally, but from what I understand, it is a decent rivalry between these two schools. They will play this year on October 18th, and here's the part about that I think makes it this. Penn State and Iowa are both teams that are on the up. Penn State, is this the year James Franklin has to get it done? Is this the year that if James Franklin doesn't make a playoff, like, got to make a run. If he can't beat Ohio State or make another deep playoff run, are the Penn State folks giving up on James Franklin?
I don't know. I mean, are they known for national championships? I mean, it doesn't mean you don't want one, but are they known for that?
I mean, not really. But at the same time,
how many did Paterno win? Whether you want to talk, I mean, he was the coach there.
That's fair.
How many did he win?
I don't know. Top of my head, I don't know.
You know what?
I'm a bad college football fan.
Me neither. So really, it comes down to what the expectations are for the school.
That's fair.
And they win a lot every single year.
I mean, in fairness, they did get you guys in the regular season last year, didn't they? Didn't they knock you off in the regular season?
No, I think that was just Michigan.
I know they beat Maryland. Oh, no. That's right. It was because Michigan beat you, they got to go play Oregon. That's what it was.
Yeah,
that's what it was. They did not get that. Yeah, my bad. It's all a blur. Time's a circle. Nothing's real. All right, two teams on the up. I do wonder if it is do or die for Joe Paterno. Number six, for Joe Paterno. For James Franklin.
Yeah, he's already dead.
Yeah. We done do or died with Joe Paterno. Number 64, LSU Florida. Again, I'll tell you what. This game this year might be one of the most interesting rivalry games that nobody's talking about yet. Because DJ Lagway has the Florida fans feeling a little gusty. The Gator. Go Gator. Congratulate the Gator. Gusty Gators. I think DJ's got them feeling a certain kind of way. I think that Florida under Billy Napier is feeling a certain kind of way. And then again, on the other side, like Florida's, hey, we got our guy at quarterback. We got our guy. Hey, the Florida fans aren't in love with Billy Napier, but he's put together a class and they're carrying a lot of momentum into this year. And again, LSU fighting for their life. I think in 2025, LSU Florida could very well be one of the most important games of the year, because it could be the game that keeps LSU out of the playoffs, and if it is, it could be the game that costs Brian Kelly his job. On the flip side, if DJ Lagway and Billy Napier go beat LSU and LSU is like in the mix for that playoff, that could be a game that turns the Florida public perception around for Billy Napier. I think this is way towards the top of the list in a 2025 paradigm. Number 63, Iowa State, Kansas State. Number 62, USC, Stanford. Kind of put them in that list of like rivalries that were and probably aren't anymore. If they ever get together, it's going to be postseason one way or the next. Number 61, Purdue, Notre Dame. I unfortunately do not have a lot of exposure to this rivalry. However, when Drew Brees made his way to the New Orleans Saints, he, of course, the greatest Boilermaker of all time. When Drew Brees made his way to New Orleans, as a lot of college football fans do, like they follow their guy, a lot of Purdue fans kind of adopted the Saints as their team. Same colors, actual gold and black. And when I was very briefly for a while there, down in Florida when Drew Brees was a Saint, we had interaction with Purdue fans who jumped on the bandwagon, and I made myself known in the Saints-o-sphere. So I had those conversations. Bro, they hate Notre Dame. They despise Notre Dame because I think Purdue sees themselves as like Notre Dame level. Like they think they're there with Notre Dame versus Notre Dame, who, because of the product that they've built, have their own TV network, have their own contracts. They're independent. Nobody's ever going to force Notre Dame to be anything else. I think Purdue fans think they ought to have the right to be there. I think they view themselves as every bit as prestigious as Notre Dame, but nobody else does. And it kind of creates a little brother syndrome that Purdue won't give up. Number 60, great rivalry matters every year, Montana State. Number 59, Kansas State. This one could matter this year. Both of these teams are trying to trend up. Number 58, Miami versus Florida. When these two teams played each other every year, then I think it was way up there on the list. The last couple of years, they have started to get back together again. They will again this year on September 20th. Kind of the same thing here. Like, if Miami falters again, after absolutely not only not living up to expectations last year with the eventual number one overall drafted quarterback Cam Ward at the helm, but with a lot of just absolute, I don't know how else to describe them, dumbass mistakes from their head coach that cost them games, this game matters a lot this year. Because this is either going to be year Mario Cristobal gets canned after getting paid as much as he did, or DJ Lagway and DJ Lagway and the Gators help make that happen, or this seems like it could be one of those games that Florida fans go, that's it, Napier ain't the guy. It's just not Billy Napier. It's just not our guy. All right, let's do this. I wanted to get to number 50 there, but we're out of time. So when we come back, let's take a look at number 57 through 50, and I will tell you that the Clemson Tigers are mentioned twice in number 57 through 50. What rivalries do the Clemson Tigers have that The Athletic believes are inside of the top 60 rivalries in all of college football? For Clemson, we'll address that. South Carolina will make its next appearance a little later on in the list as well. Where does Clemson, South Carolina rank on this list? I got that coming up for you. And again, want your reaction. Which rivalries are the biggest and the most important in 2025? We will continue to address this when we come back. Rob Lonzo to you. The Rob Brown Show is on The Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is The Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, Lonzo, and you continuing our look at The Athletic's list rank, because it's ranking season until Monday. Monday brings an end to ranking season, because when we return on Monday, number one, we will have had two teams beginning their NFL offseason camps. It's not even offseason anymore, beginning their camps, because the Pro Football Hall of Fame game is July 31st, the final day of the month of July. The week after that, we will have a full NFL preseason slate. And at that point, the conversation, the countdown to football kickoff becomes weeks, not months at that point. So it's football season. And Monday, we will be live from the College Football Hall of Fame for day number one of the SEC Media Days. We will be live all 4 days in Atlanta, Georgia at the College Football Hall of Fame. We will be visited by coaches and players from across the conference. I am very much looking forward to that. I hope that you will be with us all 4 days next week as we are live in Atlanta for the SEC Media Days. And at that point, y'all, it's football season. All right? The great has arrived, has returned. But we are going down the list of the Athletics' top 100 rivalries in college football. And again, it is their rivalry ranking based on historicity, based on relevance, based on competitiveness, etc. But I am analyzing these, and I'd like your opinions on them as we go. I am analyzing these through the paradigm of 2025. Let's talk about where these rivalries stack up in today's college football. I am talking about not just the passion, the pageantry, and in many cases, the raw hatred between these fan bases. I am talking about this from the standpoint of games that have stakes this year, games that matter this year, games where coaches may be coaching for their lives, games where teams may be playing to establish and solidify themselves as actual top-tier teams. I am talking about games where postseason berths in the college football playoff may be decided in rivalry games. We got through number 58. Let's get to number 57, North Carolina v. NC State. Again, this year in 2025, this rivalry game has a little bit of extra pop to it. And it has a little extra pop to it because it is felt for a while like NC State's knocking on the door. It is felt for a while like NC State under Dave Doering is trying to get into that upper echelon of the ACC. And they just haven't been able to break through. And this year, as they wrap up their season with North Carolina at home November 29th, this year, obviously, UNC is one of the most interesting stories in college football with the hiring of Bill Belichick as their head coach. Now, will the hoodie still be the head coach on November 29th? We'll find out. I don't think there's a lot of people that are putting this whole conspiracy theory together that Bill's going to take this job. He's going to go through the offseason. They're going to get closer to the regular season. And then he's going to say, never mind. And he's going to hand the reins over to his kid. I don't believe that. I think it's silly. I think it's over the top. I think Bill Belichick's absolutely going to give it a go. Now, I don't think he's going to be successful. Lonzo does. There's only way to find out. We'll see what happens when we get to December.
Also, when a new college coach or a recycled coach, whatever, comes in, one of the first things they usually say is we're going to beat this rival. Have you heard Belichick say anything about any of that?
I haven't heard Bill Belichick say anything, honestly, and I don't say that like it's going to sound like I'm being whatever. I'm not trying to be. I haven't heard Bill Belichick say anything. Like, the most intense conversation I've heard Bill Belichick have since he became is twofold. He had the comments on the criticism of his relationship with his 23-year-old girlfriend, and he had the sit-down interview, which was very interesting for the record, the sit-down interview he did on the ACC Network with Dabo Swinney. Like, that's it. That's all I've heard. I've heard nothing from Bill Belichick, which is pretty standard Belichick, if we're being like, that's NFL Belichick. He just didn't say anything. In fact, he went out of his way to not say things most of the time. So it's unsurprising.
Yeah, I mean, who is North Carolina? Is North Carolina State North Carolina's rival in football? Is that really their rival?
Because
I don't know who their rival is, and they may show back up later on in the list.
Yeah.
I don't know if they do.
I am going to say I think Duke is their rival in everything, but I do think that this rivalry has some weight in 2025 because, again, end of the year. Can Belichick walk it off with a win? Is that win make them bowl eligible? Does it make them an 8-4 team? Does it prove that Hoodie is definitely got it? Or is this a game where Dave Doering can knock off one of the greatest football coaches of all time. Football coaches, not college football coaches, but football coaches. We'll find out. Number 56, Notre Dame versus Miami. The Catholics versus the criminals, baby. Yeah, I mean, in 2025, this rivalry game is relevant. This rivalry game is relevant.
So you believe Miami is back?
No, I don't think Miami's ever going to be back. Oh, okay. All right, scratch that. I don't want to say that. Miami has every single one of the resources and all the dollar bills, y'all. They need to be back. I think their coach is bad at his job.
Well, you're talking about the rivalry in 2025. In order for it to be relevant, I mean, it needs to mean something. What does it mean?
Well, I think it does, because I do think Mario Cristobal is coaching for his job. I mean, I'm picking Notre Dame right out of the gate, to be honest with you. I think Mario Cristobal is coaching for his job, coaching for his life here, A. And B, the expectations for Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame this year are as high as they have been since Marcus Freeman took over at Notre Dame. Like, Notre Dame fans this year, I think, have a mentality of anything less than a playoff berth is an abject failure, and they expect a run at a natty. Maybe not to win it, but they expect a run at it through the postseason. They start with Miami on August 31st. So this rivalry in 2025 means a lot, and I do think it is a rivalry. This matters a lot, because Mario Cristobal is either starting the 2026 campaign, a campaign where I have had a number of college football talking heads on my Saturday show who I have said to them all, one of my layup bets this year is Clemson to win the ACC. It's a layup bet. It's a guarantee. There's no way, and I have had a number of them, including Andy Staples, including, who's the guy? I had one of the big Yahoo guys on last week. Ross Dellinger was on a few weeks ago, and all of them have said, not so fast, my friend. Keep an eye out for Miami, because while they were a letdown last year, a lot of that talent comes back. And even if they lost Cam Ward, they still got some dudes, and you're probably sleeping on, and I may be on this, probably sleeping on Carson Beck a little bit, which I just don't think he's that good. I think if he's that good, he'd still be at Georgia. I don't think a girl is enough to let Georgia say, we can't come up with the NIL money to keep a guy who has led us to the amount of success that Carson Beck has over his time there. So we'll see. Number 55, Alabama versus Clemson. This rivalry has been kept fresh the last couple of years, primarily because of the Saban-Dabo conversation, right? Arguably, and Kirby Smart has joined this, but arguably, up until Saban checked out and left, the best two coaches in college football, Dabo and Saban. And the conversation has been ongoing for a very long time. Is there even an outside shot that Dabo Swinney could catch Nick Saban long term? Like, does he have enough in the tank to end up with 4 or 5 more natties?
I was gonna say, did you mean wins or did you mean national championships?
I mean natties.
Okay.
Because whether it is fair or not, that is, and I'm actually more okay with this than I am like NBA players being judged on rings or NFL quarterbacks being judged on rings. National championships for a college coach, I think, is a little bit more fair. But at the same time, I also think, you know, if Dabo ends with the love and adoration of Clemson fans, where he is right now, a guy that, again, a year and a half ago, we had Clemson fans that were calling and texting this program like, is it time for us to think about moving on, right? And now Clemson is one of the trendiest bets to win the national championship this year. I think this rivalry was probably driven more by the coaches than it was the actual teams, because they only played each other a couple times, and when they did, it was postseason stuff, and obviously Bama got the better of Clemson. But this is also a rivalry that, in 2025, this could be a playoff rivalry. This could be a postseason rivalry. Number 54, Arizona State. This is another very interesting rivalry in the mindset of a 2025 paradigm. Arizona State obviously last year made it to the playoff. They got bounced, and they got bounced hard. They have lost Cam Scataboo, a guy who quite literally carried that team to the success that they had last year. But I think they have one of the best young coaches in college football. And then Arizona, on the other hand, trying to find itself, trying to find their way. Could they get there? Number 53, Tennessee, Georgia. This year, this should be at the top of the list, or at least inside the top five. Tennessee, Georgia, Josh Heupel has the UT folks believing on Rocky Top. And of course, Georgia, under Kirby Smart, A lot of people asking, have they taken a step back? They lost Carson Beck. Gunnar Stockton stepping in as QB1. There were a lot of questions about a guy who a couple of years ago was one of the most highly sought after quarterback recruits in recent memory. But Gunnar Stockton was never able to take that job. And while there are some schools, Texas, that are willing to be loyal to a quarterback, even though they may have the dude who is the future on the bench, Georgia's not necessarily one of them. I don't think Kirby is necessarily one of them. So is Georgia taking a step back into the upper echelon, but more in the mix at Georgia? Or is Georgia still going to be Georgia? Tennessee, if the folks on Rocky Top are correct, and they believe even with the loss of Nico Iamaliava out to UCLA, they are ready to go compete. They are ready to be dogs. This game is going to dictate a lot of that. Number 52, Clemson, Florida State. I think this rivalry would be higher on the list if Florida State didn't go 2-10 last year. That being said, I have asked those same college football experts I was talking to over the last couple of weeks. I have brought up Florida State to them a number of times in the context of, can Florida State bounce back? Can Florida State rebound? Can Florida State look at that 2-10 and go, that was one of the ugliest anomalies in the history of college football? Or did Florida State get so bogged down in the transfer portal era, did they get so bogged down in doing it a bad way that they can't bounce back? And what I have been told by everybody is, we're not saying that Florida State is going to bounce back and go 11-1 this year. We're not saying Florida State's going to bounce back and be in the ACC title game this year. We are saying 8-4 is the floor for this team. That this team has 8-4 talent written all over it. And if they have 8-4 talent written all over it, and if Clemson dismisses Florida State because of a 2-10 year last year, that could be a snake bite game. That could be a catch 'em sleeping game. That could be a game that you look up and you go, all right, Clemson's going to come into this thing at, you know, undefeated, looking for a playoff bid, looking for a run to the Natty. And depending on how they fare, because they got SMU 2 weeks out, they got Duke the week before that, they might be looking ahead to going to Louisville the next week. That could be a snake bite game if Florida State does have that. But if Florida State's going to go 2-10 again, this rivalry kind of poops the bed a little bit. I do think this one is important. Number 51, Michigan, Minnesota. Number 50, how is Alabama, Georgia at number 50? How is Alabama, Georgia, two teams that have been fighting each other for, it feels like, a decade now, for not just conference superiority, but college football superiority? How is Alabama, Georgia? Granted, it is not the traditional rivalry of Auburn, Alabama, or Georgia, Tennessee, or Auburn, Georgia, or Georgia, South Carolina.
If Saban's still there, would it be higher?
Gotta be, yeah, right? Like, I think
he's the factor, the reason why it's so low.
That might be fair. But I also think if that is going to be your argument, and you might be doing this, and I say you, I'm talking to Lonzo, but I'm also including the royal you, you might be doing this. I also think by bumping it this far, you're kind of showing your hand that you don't think Kalen DeBoer is the guy. And a lot of people don't. In fact, I don't think you do.
I don't. No,
yeah.
I do not. And we've said it, and other people said it 1,000 times. It's hard to be the guy following the guy, and he's following the guy.
He's following the guyest of the guys.
Right.
For sure. So a lot of people are out on Alabama with Kalen DeBoer. I'm not. I think he's got it in him to be a good coach, to be a successful coach at Alabama. This rivalry should be way higher than number 50, especially considering, I'm going to go ahead and give you the game because we're going to do 49 through 25 coming in a minute. Indiana-Purdue is next. That's a better rivalry than Georgia-Alabama. I don't even care if both of these teams are down. I'm sorry. Indiana-Purdue is not a better rivalry than Georgia-Alabama after what those two teams have built over the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years in a row. All right, we'll do, when we come back, audio blitz at the top of the hour. Then we'll do 49 through 25, looking at the athletics ranking of the top 100 rivalries in college football through a 2025 lens. Your thoughts are welcome. 844-326-3663. Call that number, text that number. But before you do that, sit back, relax, enjoy, light a candle, get your cigarette ready, because you're going to need it after the sports flash.
More proof that Rob is dumb with the Atlanta Braves.
Yep.
The Atlanta Braves got a night off last night after dropping 4 in a row and 7 of 9, but are back in action tonight with a 10:05 start against the A's in California. Rookie Didier Fuentes is scheduled to get the start against the A's' Jeffrey Springs. Fuentes is 0-2 with a 9 ERA, allowing 18 hits and 3 homers while striking out 10. through a dozen innings. That's not good. The Orlando Magic have agreed to a five-year rookie max contract with Paolo Banchero that will pay him $239 million and could reach as much as $287 million if he becomes All-NBA MVP or Defensive Player of the Year next year. Though it was suspected already, the Indiana Pacers have announced Tyrese Haliburton will be unavailable next season with a torn Achilles suffered in the NBA Finals. The team reported the snap was higher than anticipated in his leg, but the surgery to repair it went well, which is good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.